Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our season 2020 preview for the Hawthorne Hawks. So first thing we'll do is a quick review of 2019 and see what happened for the Hawks there before we get into what's coming up for this year. So right off the bat, just outside of the dreaded ninth position with 11 wins, pass or fail, you think, for Hawks?
I think if you were setting the standard from Jan 1, fail, but as soon as Mitchell went down, You'd think finishing ninth was a pass.
Yeah, yeah. I think going back last year, none of us had them playing finals.
No. Yeah. And, I mean, one game out of the finals, and they're in seventh spot with a good percentage.
A very decent percentage.
Well, yeah. They had better percentage than both Essendon and Bulldogs.
That played finals.
Yeah, that played finals.
So where are the highs for Hawthorn in 2019?
For me, giving GWS a smashing twice.
Yeah, yep.
You know, grand finalists GWS were, obviously. And they copped a smashing there too.
And I think GWS in the two games against Hawthorne scored a grand total of about 70 points.
Yeah.
I think it might have even been less. They had an absolute shocker.
Both times, yeah.
Yeah, they scored 5-8, 38 in the first match. And in the return leg, they managed to
score 29 points.
So 29.
Yeah.
So, barely 70.
And that the Canberra game is one that will go down. What an absolute masterpiece in coaching and getting the boys ready, you know, playing in the snow.
That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
It was ridiculous. Yeah. But I loved
the actual game itself or the hype around it?
All of it. The hype around it and the build-up to it, you know, and they were the media was following it very, very closely because, you know, it was scheduled for snow. With Clarkson running laps shirtless.
Yeah, yeah.
To tell, you know, obviously to tell the players, embrace it. It's going to be snowing.
Don't need long sleeves.
Quarter time, Hawks got off to a good start and it is literally snowing and you see the team looking up, smiling and laughing. You go, they've got this. It's brilliant.
I think that's very much different in attitude with the Clarkson-led Hawthorn teams, some other teams. They just don't give a fuck.
Well, you know, it's going oil, isn't it? Lather up that. Putting that shit on, does that even work? Like, I don't remember that warming up at all.
No, it doesn't, but
I
it smells lovely.
I do remember
it
working, just because I remember back in the day, swimming in a non-heated 50-metre pool in fucking cold-ass weather, and we had a swimming club from Adelaide come down, and they swam in a 25-metre indoor heated pool.
And started crying. And,
they were crying. It was that fucking cold. They were making fun of us putting this goanna oil on before swimming. And within the first 15 minutes, they were asking for some. Because it may not have made much difference, but it made enough that you didn't hate your life.
The difference was greater than zero.
Yeah.
The difference was not crying, basically.
Yeah. I also had the highs as West Coast in round 23. With technically the season still on the line for Hawks, and West Coast were playing for a top four spot to dominate them over in the West. Scrimshaw, I think, came back from injury that round.
Yeah, I mean, he's, like I've said the last couple of years, he's one of the players I think Hawthorn picked up for a fucking song.
Yeah.
And he's better than that. Like, I don't know if he's superstar, but he's definitely a best 22 in a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Where did he come from? Did he come from
Gold
Melbourne?
Coast.
Gold Coast.
And by all accounts, it was an attitude problem up there.
Right.
Just didn't want to be there.
But to be fair, who would?
You can understand it in one sense. In the other sense, you know, you're a professional, but blah, blah, blah.
It's one of those ones where, oh no, Briar Wolf, don't throw me in the briar patch. Like, you know, it's all right, your attitude means you're out. Yeah. You're going to Hawthorn.
Going to Hawthorn, yeah.
Fucking, all right.
Tom Lynch regretted it too.
Yeah. Please,
oh,
no.
Oh,
shave me.
Well,
nobody.
I fucked up there, didn't I? Fucking all right, see you.
A couple of others to quickly go through. Henderson had probably the best season of his career at the age of 31. Hmm. Was probably in the AFL, all AFL squad. Obviously didn't make the team, but Ruffy's farewell against Gold Coast. It was a parade.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
geez, it was lovely.
They got him goals, so
got him 6 goals. It was just absolutely lovely to be there and see that. But mainly, I'd say the biggest plus: Tom Mitchell going down before the season starts. James Warple won best and fairest at the age of 19.
Yeah, really, your best and fairest. Shit,
not a bad fucking effort.
I think a big part of it was his consistency, because a lot of the players struggled to get 22 games in.
Yeah, and I don't think he played more than 20, but you know, like Henderson played a lot. There was a few, but consistently and getting a lot of the ball and getting a lot of the hard ball. Disposal still needs to be cleaned up, but you know, it's his second season. You can forgive him for that.
Well, for sure, especially since, like, with Mitchell going down, there were a lot of people with you expect to put their hand up and really jump in there in that position. I would not have picked Warple.
No. I think it was 10 games, 11 games going into the season. So,
But that was the point where you thought, all right, here's Scully going to prove his worth and jump in. He didn't need to. I mean, I thought Scully still plays good footy, but...
So, all right. Yeah. All right. Obviously not back to his best.
But... Yeah.
He played his role.
Yeah, he did. Where are the low points for the Hawks?
Even though it's probably a bit controversial, I'm going to say Wingard. He had some good moments, but they were few and far between. And considering they thought he'd be sort of taking the role of Rioli, it just shows how good Rioli is at that role, moment player role.
He missed, I think, half the season. But when you recruit somebody that had an injury, you've got to take those risks on board, don't you?
Yeah.
But certainly, I think he played 12 games. I'm not quite sure. But he missed literally played 2 games in the first half.
He had a big chunk in the middle, right?
That's a big chunk. Now, his last month was brilliant.
Yeah.
I think he had 2 best on grounds in the last three rounds. Yeah, but that's...
But for what he was brought on
And also, that's three games out of 22.
Yeah.
It's not many.
I thought that he just found his way into the team by the end of the season. I think that big chunk in the middle really sort of ripped away any chance of having a successful season, obviously.
Yeah.
But I feel like we went and watched a few games at the start. I thought he positioned himself well. He just didn't not have the respect of the teammates, but they just weren't used to having him in the fold. It wasn't really an option, a first pick. But then towards the back, you could see they were starting to look for him. And I think it's just jelly and being cohesive with the team that you're in. That just comes on the train track, I think.
Well, especially at the back end of the season when he was playing more midfield. He could see the flow of the game. He used his skills. I think in his first game, he kicked 3 goals against North, but it was just brilliance. It wasn't part of the team. You know, it was almost solo efforts.
Well, I think a lot of his skill is stuff that he does off the ball. Like, he always manages to be real sneaky and getting away from his man and figuring out...
Finding space.
Yeah, finding space, especially in the corridor and in around 50.
I want to see more. Is it getting away from his man, or is his man...
not manning up.
His man getting away from him. I haven't seen enough live of him yet to really know. Obviously, Tom Mitchell going down before the season started, but there's not much you can do about that. I think the real win there was they didn't try and rush him back for round 21.
Yeah.
Would have been silly. But also, it's amazing Hawthorn's losses to bottom four sides. So they had losses to the Saints, to Melbourne, and to Sydney. I think they had more losses to bottom four than they had against top four.
Yeah.
Which is, it shows a little bit of inconsistency, especially at the start of the year, which is a bit disappointing. And another loss in round two, they gave up 9 goals in the fourth quarter to the Bulldogs. Mm. To be honest, Bulldogs were running over the top of them, but... it's one of those ones, like, sometimes you get the rub of the green with the umpires and sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
Bulldogs got 1 or 2 calls that were rub of the green, and then especially Sicily, they were looking for excuses for him to give away free kicks, and he obliged.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the umpire's fault.
But you know, playing the Bulldogs, that's going to happen because I think they get more free kicks than any other team.
And you know, being James Sicily, they're looking at you as well. Like, for better or worse, it's going to happen.
Well, Backman cop it. Because a forward who throws themselves on the ground will get a free kick half the time.
Yeah.
A backman who does it will never get it.
No.
I mean, that's just the unfortunate way that it is. But on that note, Jack Gunston, it was a bit of a disappointment for the season.
He was all right.
He had 26 goals in 20 games.
Yeah, but
13 of them came in three games. He went goalless seven times.
Yeah, it's hard to kick goals from the back line, though.
he wasn't the back line the whole season, though.
No, not the whole season, but he played a lot of it up in the back line. Especially when Mitch Lewis started to come to fruition. Because I think Mitch kicked he kicked about 22 goals as well.
But Mitch Lewis got dropped.
No, he got injured.
I thought he came back through the VFL.
No, no. He got injured conveniently enough when he played, I think, two games, got dropped, and then played 10 in a row or something like that. Conveniently got injured when they needed Ruffy to do a farewell game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's been the story of their season, really, is managing injuries.
Yeah,
so
a little bit.
I feel like that their ninth was a pass for me. I wasn't expecting big things out of the Hawks, and I thought, I thought they showed enough against top teams. Obviously, you were saying they obviously faltered against some lower-end teams, but yeah. I feel like the Hawks always play, well, in the last season anyway, the last couple of seasons, to their opposition ability.
A little bit, yeah.
That's changing from them just being assertive and dominating, but I feel like they've been batting, you know, probably above where they should be for a couple of seasons now. So I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
I think, yeah, some of the losses to lower sides is a little bit of experimentation and getting used to a different team. There's a lot of different style, so to speak. I mean, there is changes there, but it's a different team.
Yeah.
All right, so let's have a look at some of the list changes going into the new season. Very active in the off-season, Hawthorn, as usual. So let's look at their outs. Grant Birchall is taking the Luke Hodge Memorial Trophy up to Brisbane.
Yep. Who came back this year? Was it Hodgie or was it... No, it wasn't Hodgie. They have one of their...
Nobody came back.
I mean, not to play, but to coach.
Oh, Sam Mitchell came back, but that was a year before.
All right.
Birchall's got up there. I don't think he played a game last year either.
Right.
He's played probably less than six games in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Pitt Nett is left to Carlton. Again, he's green. He's going to be a decent ruckman, but he's just behind McAvoy.
Don't need ruckman at the moment.
Yeah, they've got Segler as well. So it was a toss-up. If Segler can find more money elsewhere, he was going to go, but he stayed.
Yep.
So Pitt Nett, if he wants to play AFL, he's got to go somewhere else. Ruffy, we've already covered. What a send-off. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest retirement match you could ever ask for.
And, you know, he's always going to be obviously in that fold at Hawks. They've looked after him pretty well. You can't imagine he's going to go anywhere else.
Well, no, he's coaching at St Kilda now.
Is he?
Yep.
Well, fuck Hawks then.
As soon as he retired, Saints go, we'll give you a job. He goes, all right, what's a job? Don't worry about it. We'll figure that out later. You've got a job.
Well, he was coaching halfway through his final season anyway.
In the VFL, he was. Yeah. It was lovely, wasn't it?
Well, you'd be fucking stoked if you're the Leon Backman playing on him. You're you should be running here and running there.
Okay.
All right then.
Good on him.
I mean, in fairness, he wasn't too worried about getting the best of Paris or anything.
No, he's not worried at all. Caden Brand is heading up to Sydney. Again, he's one of those players that never lacks for effort. Skill you can argue about and talent you can argue about. Miles Mirror, Tim Moore, but also Ryan Showmakers. After 120-odd games.
120-odd hard-fought games, Showmakers.
A whipping boy for most of those 120, but goddamn did he play a good grand final in 2015.
That makes all forgiven.
The old Daisy Thomas-itis.
Yeah?
Well, yeah. I don't know
what that is.
No, me neither.
He pop up for a game and then build a career off that.
He nearly run a Brownlow 1 year, Daisy. It's a bit rough on him.
Yeah, one good season. But it's like having
it was for Carlton.
It's like having a good Ashes.
Yeah, what's fucking wrong with that?
Yeah,
nothing.
You have one good Ashes test and you've got a fucking career.
Yep.
So it's amazing how you have all the same data and come to complete opposite conclusions.
All right, Inns. We've got Michael Hartley over from Essendon. That's a bit of a depth player, I think, but he's an all right player.
Yeah, there you go.
Nothing wrong there. Frosty, coming over from Melbourne.
I actually rate him quite highly.
I do too. Like, what he does well, he does very, very well.
And I think he is a similar enough player to Sicily, except Sicily's a much better intercept mark.
Oh, yeah. Sicily's a good user of the ball. Frosty isn't.
No. But in terms of a backline player, they play that mobile sort of mobile, tall, lanky fucker quite well. Sicily obviously loves a bit of the niggle, which...
It goes against him more often than not.
I'm a big fan of the niggle. Always have been.
Yes, indeed.
Frost is a little bit less niggly, but I think this will... When those two are in the same side, I think Frost is going to become more like Sicily rather than Sicily becoming like Frost.
Oh, I can't see Sicily changing his game for anybody. But it was very
certainly
funny with Frost because he got dropped from Melbourne, you know, during the season.
That's pretty hard to do in that Melbourne team too.
Exactly. And I know all the pundits was like, he's your best defender.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And the criticism on him was his disposal and decision-making is pretty poor. He's a good lockdown defender. And Hawthorn went, we want a lockdown defender. See, that's the point.
Yeah. Yeah. Please don't make decisions. Just don't do this to get the ball.
See, I heard he stole someone's Ralph Lauren eau de toilette.
Yeah.
That was enough.
Yeah. Have you seen Frosty? No. If he did steal it, it's only to try and drink it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he wasn't wearing it.
Big Jonathan Patton. Who sat out the entire year with a knee injury.
Yeah, I totally forgot you had Patton.
Big surprise he went to Hawthorn.
Yeah, he sat out the entire year at Glen Waverley.
I got to say, he just flew into Melbourne to visit the doctor and went out to Waverley to go to the gym.
Yeah.
I mean, if Hawthorn hadn't picked him up, he would have been playing in the VFL for Hawthorn.
He did interview for a few different jobs. Like he was in the marketing department for 1 week. So not that much of a surprise. Look, everyone knows how much potential Patton's had. He's nearly played 100 games, I think.
Yeah, 100 games on potential.
His potential is as broad as his shoulders, but unfortunately he's delivered as broad as his head.
Yep.
The knees are a little bit suspect, so to speak. But he's up and playing now. He could be anything, but... How long is he going to last standing upright?
I mean, it's value for money, regardless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got him for Knicks, and he's still a young lad. And
he's 25, you know. Well, the big lads.
Looks like he can go to 35.
Yeah.
Like, if they're well. And, you know, maybe GWS grounds are a bit harder on the knees. I'm reaching there, but Hawthorn have shown they're willing to try and get players right.
They put faith in their medical department. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. You know, he's on the juice, he's on fire.
Why not?
They'll just stick him out in the paddock for a season.
Just have him hide out under the rings whenever a side come by.
That old chestnut.
But, I mean, look, if he's in the squad, he's an absolute fucking spearhead. You're gonna keep him. You're going to love that deal.
Well, you haven't traded him in to play VFL, have you? If he's right, he plays AFL.
And if it's costing fuck all, then it's a 4-year project. If you can get one season, 4 years, sweet. Yeah.
Oh, we've got good medical insurance.
Yeah. The Danny Gorringe theory, like if you're a tall bastard playing footy, you're guaranteed 100 games.
You'll get four years before they find out you're useless. All right, their double ups for next year are Brisbane, Geelong, North, Port and Sydney.
I like those double ups.
Brisbane, Geelong, North, Port.
It's a tough double up with Brisbane and Geelong especially.
Yeah. Look,
Brisbane... I think they were brilliant last season. But we saw that from Melbourne too, a couple of seasons back.
Oh, 2 years ago, yeah.
And they just dropped off because everyone took them a bit more seriously.
Yeah.
I think Brisbane are a more rounded side than Melbourne.
Yeah.
So they could definitely be up there again and maybe even go further.
I totally thought you were going to Brisbane and dropping off this season. I'd say, holy shit, we're just making the big calls come bigger and bigger.
It's possible, but I think... If they come out of the blocks hard, they're going to have a fucking brilliant season.
Put it this way, we're all picking Brisbane to finish top four.
Yeah. And just the way they finished last season reminds you of when the Bulldogs finished the season before they won the flag.
Except for finals, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I think they got a taste of finals, even though they didn't win one.
Yeah.
They got a taste for it, and they got the fans behind them. That means they're keying up for a big one. Mm.
But well, but then again, if they fuck up in the first five rounds, then that'll drop off pretty quick. But having said that, Geelong
Hawthorn games, they're different.
Yeah.
I honestly think Geelong are on the downward.
I'm almost there with you. I think. I just reckon that they're investing a little bit too heavily, and
But I think also, like you said, Hawthorn Geelong games tend to be finals like.
Yeah.
And you've got a younger Hawthorn side, and they will try and maul Geelong. And in the past, Geelong have been able to weather that.
Yeah,
I don't know if they can now.
It'll be interesting too, because we've always been undersized against Geelong.
Yeah.
But now our forward line has got Patton, Lewis, and Timmy O'Brien, who took some fucking grabs.
Yeah.
That's a tall fucking back line.
Yeah.
And Ben McAvoy playing centre-half back. You know, McAvoy versus Hawkins is a good matchup.
Frost isn't too small either. He's like
Frosty as well.
200.
Yeah.
Just under 195, I think I saw.
North and Port.
Is this Kenneth's last season as well?
I think he... No. No, he hasn't said so, but he's sort of hinted towards it, but he hasn't. I don't think he's officially said so.
Yeah.
I'll check on that one.
Because that'll make a good double up against Geelong worthwhile in the season.
Always.
The Sydney legs, is one of them down south?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
There'll always be a North Hawthorn game in Tassie.
In Tassie, yeah, yeah. Both clubs trying their best to make money out of Tasmania.
Although I did see the Labor opposition said if Tasmania wasn't given a team, or at least a date on when the licence would be active, they'd dump North and throw everything at Hawthorn. So,
Horathorn.
So fuck you, Tasmania.
But that is a good double up for North, because the two games are, like you say, Tassie and Marvel. Because I don't think North's beaten Hawthorn at the MCG for a very, very long time. And I don't think Hawthorn's beaten North at Marvel for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think North plays at MCG more than two or three times a year.
Yeah, well, they played Hawthorn there last year, but yeah, you're right. I think two, maybe three, if they're lucky. All right, so who's in for a big year at the Hawthorn?
I mean, Tom Mitchell is obviously a player you have to throw out there.
It's going to be interesting how he comes back from that broken leg, because whoever we've seen that kind of injury happen to before, and I'm thinking Nathan Brown.
Yeah, Michael Barlow, Nathan Brown.
Not the same player when they come back. However, Mitchell was never...
he wasn't in and under.
He's always in and under, yeah. Led the league in contested possessions, but...
he was when he got hit. Was he?
Sorry?
When he got hit.
It was in training that he got hit. But he's never been a speedy player. But his stamina is, I think, one of the best out there, because he just runs all day. He might be slow, but he's just as the same speed in the fourth as he is in the first. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting how that goes. And just touch, you know, you're a full year out, you've got to get confidence in yourself again.
It's one of those things that could go either way, but, I mean, he's a Brownlow level player.
Yeah.
I think he's probably...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He was better when he got injured than Barlow and Brown were when they got injured, I would say.
Yeah, well, definitely Barlow and Brown. I mean, yeah, he was a Brownlow medalist. What are we talking about?
I mean, I would say both of those players could have been absolutely anything. Yeah, Nathan Brown was an absolute champion, and Barlow probably should have had a much better career than what he did at.
If he started earlier, he would have.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you win a Brownlow, they don't give those away. And the amount of times he got 40-plus up to, I think he's
best. He's got a couple 50. Of 50s. Yeah, a couple.
That's just fuck you.
Yeah.
Hardwick's injured again, isn't he?
He is. Hardwick has done his pec muscle in a practice match. So he's out for 12.
How to do your pec muscle, I would imagine.
Yeah, collision, they said. Oh, it was in the...
Maybe his teammates don't fucking like him.
It was a match against St Kilda. It was a bloody charity match.
Yeah.
Out in the bushfire affected areas last
weekend. It was too. Did I see Charlie Cameron got his car stolen in that match? Then the fucking people who stole it giving him shit?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a bit rough.
It is a bit rough when you send photos and they apparently put smiley faces over their actual faces.
But I mean, but everyone can tell it's Dusty Martin. So,
but they sent the original photos, so it's got all the metadata in there. You've got the GPS coordinates, you've got the time, the location, the fucking everything. Yeah. It's like, lads, like you do this to old mate who lives down the road, then the cops aren't taking it.
Yeah, you'd steal someone's car. He's going to watch the charity match. Not people that are playing in there.
Yeah, just imagine though, Charlie Cameron walks into the cop station, says someone stole my car. They'd be like, "You're right, mate." He's like, "And here's my lawyer to help you out." You know, old mate's getting billed out at 10 grand an hour. You guarantee that car's getting fucking found.
One way or another.
Although if he's like, "Hey, those weren't my drugs," We haven't found it yet, Charlie. I mean, just in case you do find it.
But if you don't want them, I'll take them.
Whatever's in the glove box, totally not mine.
So I've got Daniel Howe having a big year. I want to see him step into a midfield role.
He's still playing from that. They've tried to play him as a tagger before.
Nah, I think he's too tall for a tagger.
Yeah, he is. He's deceptively tall.
Yeah, he's not in and under. I think you want to see him a bit on the outside that'll complement the in and under players Hawthorn already have. And I think with, I mean, he's only 25.
Yep.
But he's been playing for his fifth season coming up.
It could be more.
So I feel like that's the point where it's either make or break.
Yep.
You go big, if you fit in that team, or if you're basically going somewhere else, or you got to change your position.
You go up to the Gold Coast.
Yeah, basically. Or you turn into a back flanker or something.
How many games has Berger went up to these days?
Oh, 380. It's like 380. No, must be 376. He needs finals to make 400. I don't know.
See,
but it's the type of thing where if he ends the season, you know, he misses through general soreness or injury, and you end on 395, you're playing next year.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you kind of have to. I mean, for fuck's sake.
I think there'll be 17 other clubs that would demand, no, he's playing.
Mm, yeah.
Like, there'll be a contract on the board for him somewhere, without a doubt. I also put Scrimshaw in for a big year as well, because we saw that he can play a little bit of footy.
Mm.
But Hardwick's out for the first half of the season, and so is Jarman Impey. He won't be playing the first half of the season as he comes back from his knee. So there's an opportunity there for the lad. If he fills that role that Birchall used to play, he's absolutely cruising. He's a very classy ball user as well. And his last game against West Coast was brilliant.
Yeah, just double check. 376 Burgoyne's up to.
Yeah, 76.
So he's 24.
So he's got to play two finals, or every single game and two finals to make 400 this year.
Yeah.
Probably not going to happen.
It'll be the first time a club's had two 400 game players. Granted, some of them were at Port.
And it'll be the first time that a player's played 400 at two clubs. All the others are one club men.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, all the others, four of them.
The other four. How would it be, though? You're playing 400 games, mate, another two seasons, you'll get the record here.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those ones where, 376, massive fucking career.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, four seasons, and you can have a chat with Boomer.
Yeah.
And even then, Boomer should probably come back now.
Probably still good. Hey, you got his stats up there. How many wins out of 376?
Six. No, he's got 251. So he's
251 wins.
Jesus
shooting
Christ.
67%. So what's the average games in the AFL is what, 60?
Yeah, 60, I think it's less than 50. Don't quote me, but yeah. But 250.
Jesus Christ.
So that's just taking the piss.
Let's have a look at somebody like Dusty Martin. Dusty Martin's played 230-odd games.
Yeah.
Burgoyne has 15 more wins than Dusty Martin's played games.
That's just insane. Phenomenal.
By the way, I know the record is 301.
There you go.
Tuck, of course.
Of course.
Just ridiculous. All right, who's in trouble at the Hawks then? Who's on the outer this year?
Clarkson. They've missed finals. that motherfucker better pull his finger out.
Get on
that
war chest in North.
The next question is, how much pressure is the coach under? It's zero, isn't it?
Definitely zero.
Well, now that old mate Kennett's fucking off,
yeah.
I mean, that might be the problem. They might try and boot him upstairs. Oi, Clarko, you're president now.
I can see that happening in a couple of years. Clarko going, I'll take your front office role. Sammy, you're in the chair now. That's how he's going to go out. It will be when he's decided, I've had enough.
But do you reckon they have like a caretaker in and they're like, all right, I'm set now. And Clark goes, oi, fuck off. It's like, well, you can't do that. The board has to, no, mate, fuck off.
Yeah.
And the board's like, oh, what he said?
I've heard that Clarkson's actually in the process of changing the Hawthorn constitution so he can be forever president of Hawthorn and not have to get elected.
Why not? I mean, who's going to say no?
Oh, not Putin.
I've got Frawley down just because of age.
Yeah.
He had a really good year last year, to be honest. Probably one of his better years at Hawthorn.
Mm.
But I think it is one of those ones where you got Frosty in, who's the same kind of player, but 10 years younger.
Well, I think he's about 10 kilos lighter, too.
Yeah, go close to it.
Like,
No one
ever accused Frawley of being the sharpest knife in the drawer.
But I think what he improved on last year was he went, you know what, there's a simple kick there, I'm going to take that kick.
Yeah, right.
And if you're a big, bulky backman like he is, that's what you need to do.
He's there to play on the gorillas. You know, that's his job.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, there's not that many full four gorillas these days.
No, still a couple that usually resting ruckman.
Well, we got Patton, but yeah, he's fucking mum.
Hawkins, yeah. But you're right, not many.
Is Bruce still playing?
Yeah,
yeah. Bruce Chucky won that list.
No, he retired.
Luke Bruce.
Yeah, Chucky won that pile.
Leading goal kicker last year he was.
Yeah, but that's not good when you know, you're not winning. Actually, the percentage was good, wasn't it? It was a lot of points, a lot of goals.
But Frawley as well, you want to leave before you're a liability.
Yeah. Yeah.
Popolo was floated around for a trade, wasn't he?
He was, and I don't think he got many offers because he is 31 as well.
Yeah, and he's 5'1".
5'1", yeah. His tenacity is still unmatched.
Oh, but he's 7 feet of aggression in a 5'1" package.
Absolutely. But he did go a long time without hitting the scoreboard. I mean, not 100% his role, but that's the way it goes sometimes. I've also got James Cousins down, who's been full of potential all that time, but there's a lot of players through that midfield that are very classy ball users, and you've really got to stick your head up above the average.
Well, you feel like that they're the positions that are going to be in trouble because they're the positions that are, you know, got plenty of people trying to buy for them.
And I've also put Connor Nash because he gets games, but he is literally the worst kick in the AFL.
Well, I mean, it's not the first, you know, father-son that's basically shit.
Irish.
Irish, or whatever.
I don't think his father played AFL. Wrong Nash.
Oh, that's right.
All right, so...
That's all right, we got the Nash, didn't we?
Yeah, it's place for you. He's a nice long kick, but goddamn, he's got no idea where it's going to go half the time.
Yeah, it's Irish, isn't it?
All right, ninth with 11 wins last year. Where do you see Hawthorn finishing in 2020?
I believe I've got them dropping down to a double-figured result of 10th. I think that they're treading water until there are players that come to maturation for them that fill in those big spots again.
Yeah.
I think 10th would be a pass for them, but you never know how tight that midfield is. The midfield of the ladder.
Josh, where you got the Hawthorn finishing?
I think they're going to struggle a bit. So I've got them dropping slightly to 12th.
Down three spots.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be such a bad thing for them. I think, like you're saying, this year it's going
to
be...
12th's a great place to finish. Get fuck all draft picks. Don't play finals.
What are draft picks anyway?
Yeah.
Like we
just trade for them, yeah.
I mean, who'd GWS pick up 2 years back?
Everyone.
Yeah. Basically everyone. Has Lachie Whitfield re-signed?
Yeah. Tim Taranto just got injured, though. Yeah.
Does that matter?
No, it doesn't. But Tim Taranto won a best and fairest at GWS, and now he's injured. He's going to miss the first half of the year. I mean, that's our MO, isn't it?
I've read this story before.
Yeah.
I've got them at 12 because I think they'll still hassle a lot of the big teams, especially the double Geelong games. They'll probably split the difference there. The only queries I have is how robust they'll be with guys like Patton, Burgoyne because he's 105, and all those sort of things. So they could have a bit of disruption in their best 22, or they could run through and the medicos will be BOGs again, and they could finish a bit higher.
Look,
I don't think they're looking to go deep in September, though. I think they're quite happy just to work out their structures, work out who's going to be their next gen leaders, and push through from there.
No, I think so too. I don't think premiership window time, but I've gone sixth, so that's a couple of extra wins. But and really, I'm basing that on the fact that you're adding Frost, Patton, and Mitchell. You can't go backwards adding those three in.
See, I don't know though, because you don't often see new players, even star players, come in and have instant impact. Shouldn't they take a season to settle? And maybe Wingard's going to have that effect.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure he will, but his best is very good.
Yeah. His best is all Australian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you need all things to go right for that result.
You need a few things to go right.
I mean, the thing goes right could be Luke Hodge comes back and he has to pull his head in.
Somehow I don't see that happening.
I think Luke Hodge is pretty fucking happy where he is, I reckon.
I think so. I think he's on an absolutely sweet wicket. All right, that'll do us for the Hawks.
Yeah, peace.
Good luck.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.